coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So three easy ways to listen to the Waddle and Sylvie show and all your favorite shows on ESPN 1000, whether it's Bleck and Abdallah, whether it's Cap and Jay Hood, whether it's Carmen and Yurko, Greeny, all the shows you get right here, KJZ, you get it on ESPN 1000, you get it on the ESPN Chicago app, and now you get it on the FM side. That's right, we are now on the FM side. And the way you get it is on HD radio. It's 100.3 HD2.
100.3 HD2. Carm actually sounded like he was still on an AM stick when he was. I heard him on 100.3 HD2.
Well, he was sick and he was broadcasting from home today.
See, and I meant because he sounds like he's got a cold in his head.
Yeah, he didn't sleep all night, supposedly. He did not sound well, and he's like, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm like,
take your time, Chance.
Be patient.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's not COVID-related, we don't need sinus infections being spread around these days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We all use the same microphones. Don't be a hero. I used to do that stupid stuff. No more. Sick days will happen. We're all still going to get sick.
Sure.
I'm not talking COVID. We're all going to get colds. We're all going to get viruses.
People forget that there are still viruses out there.
Yes. So check that out. And it's easy, especially if you have a current, like a car that you purchased recently or you've leased recently. Make sure your HD function is enabled. Go to 100.3 and then scroll up one, and it will go from 100.3 to 100.3 HD2. And that's where you hear everything you hear normally on ESPN 1000, you'll just hear it in crystal clear FM quality.
Clear.
And it's free. This isn't like just like the ESPN Chicago app is free, and you can download any of the podcasts on demand free. You can listen live free. The HD2 is free as well. This isn't like a Sirius channel. This is a HD2 channel, which is free and available to most of us.
And if you're technically challenged like I am, just and you have a young daughter or son who is smarter than you the way that I do, just have them go in your car and help you out.
Yes, yes.
You can help you fix that.
All right, so shame on me, guys. Usually on lottery day, I mean, this team, it's going on like the Bears of 85, where you know, it's a habit for me to be in front of a television to go check out to see if the Bulls win the damn lottery. Like, God forbid I be watching the Bulls these days in a conference finals. It's happened one time. They've been in one conference finals since 1998. And that was in the 2011 playoffs in Derek's MVP year. And that was the only time they've gone to the conference finals since the championship years. I mean, we're going on 20-plus years of just mediocrity, and instead of me rushing to the television to catch Bulls playoff basketball, it's always, hey, what percent chance do we have? Ooh, it's 20% this year. We get to keep our pick if it's top
four. Who's representing the Bulls at tonight's draft lottery?
It's Mark Eversley. I'm not thrilled about this, guys. I'm very superstitious. Last year, it was Karnishevis, and they jumped. They went from their place, and they jumped into the top four. And I'm
why not stand with a good thing?
I think you stay with a hot hand.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I just think that he had good luck last year. Let's do the same thing. Let's rinse and repeat, and let's get Karnishevis back out there. It's Eversley. So
I'm not going to blame Mark Eversley if for whatever reason it comes in at five. That's just not, my style.
Why didn't you change your shoes when you played football?
Because I was superstitious.
Okay.
Well, I'm not playing football. I'm sitting on my couch. I'm sitting on my ass watching the NBA lottery.
I know. So, Dolly, you've got the lottery balls in front of you? You got balls bouncing all over you?
Before you go do it, Abdallah, do you guys want the odds for tonight so you know what we're...
Yes.
So we set the scene on what's actually going on?
It's actually 20.3.
So it's slotted. So there are things that are already determined that can and cannot happen. So the Bulls cannot be the 14th pick, the 13th pick, and they also cannot be the 7th, the 6th, or the 5th pick.
Right. They can't jump to 7th. 6-5. They can only jump into the top four.
So like Abdallah said, they have a 20.3% chance to be in the top four. The way that's weighted, first pick would be 4.5%. The second pick, 4.8%. The third pick, 5.2%. Fourth pick, 5.7%. Again, they cannot be 5, 6, or 7. Then we get to the eighth pick. They have a 34.5% chance to get the eighth pick. They have a 36.2% chance to get the ninth pick. That's the highest weighted spot for the Bulls to land. The ninth pick
is the most likely spot where they will pick.
At 10, they have an 8.5% chance. 11, a 0.5% chance. And I know it says on the chart at 12 that they have a 0.0% chance, but it's lower than that 0.1%. So it's almost, you can't be 12. But basically, when you're watching tonight, right, you'll know that they get into the top four if they get past that eighth pick.
Right. If the Bulls logo doesn't turn up before eight, or at eight, then you know they've jumped to the top four.
The two slotted spots would be 8 through 12, or they'll be 1 through 4.
So if they get past 8, we're good.
Yes, right, correct. If you don't see it. Right. And again, the Bulls, too, because them in the 8th spot, usually they would get a 26.3% chance to get into the top 4. But as Abdallah said, it's only 20.3 because they won that last game against the Bucks. Remember this? When the Bulls were playing their bad against the Bucks bad, and the Bulls bad beat the Bucks bad.
Yeah, I had money on the Bucks.
And because then New Orleans and Sacramento then tied with them.
Yeah.
So these three teams have all split the difference instead of having, the Bulls would have lost that, they would have had a 26.3% chance to go into the top four. Okay. Now it's just a 20% over one win.
But shout out to the Bulls, though, because they won the coin flip before this all takes place tonight. They won a coin flip like 2 weeks ago against Sacramento and New Orleans. So the top four odds for all three of those teams are the same. But the Bulls do have more weighted opportunity at 8 and 9 than the other two behind them. So technically, they
still have an advantage.
They're in a better situation between 8 and 12, but as far as the top four that we really care about, no.
Yeah. So they screwed themselves by winning that final
game. Oh, yeah.
A good 6%.
Same way that the Chicago Bears, had they not gone and beaten the Texans and the Jags and whoever else it was that was...
Kind of like our thing here in Chicago. We just kind of win games for no reason at all.
The point I make is I think had they not done that, they would have been picking inside the top 10. But ultimately, it worked out for them.
Because they got Fields.
Maybe if you believe in trends, maybe the same thing happens. They won a meaningless game at the end of the season. But it didn't matter because somehow, some way,
they got into the top four. Now, remember, if they don't get into the top four, they don't get a first round pick this year. So they traded this year's pick and the 2023 pick for Vooch, along with a couple of other players. So if they get into the top four, the Bulls get to use that pick this year because it's top four protected. If they don't get into the top four, that pick 7, 8, 9, 10 goes to Orlando.
Okay, I'm less confused than I was when the show started.
Yeah.
They have a 20.3% chance to get a top four pick. That's all anybody really cares
spin
about.
Spin the balls!
Yeah,
all
right. Is that what we do? We're spinning balls.
Spin balls!
Spin balls. Waddle, give me a drum roll, please. Drum roll, please.
This is from where? ESPN? Or is this Tankathon?
Tankathon. With the first attempt at the Tankathon Draft Simulator, the Chicago Bulls select 8th.
Ooh, see, that's not good.
Sucks.
All right, so we'll see
coming
how many
into
times.
Tonight, the Bulls have a 34.5% chance to land with the 8th selection.
We'll see if we can land a top four pick before we leave. We'll do that every segment.
And with the 8th selection, they take Kevin White.
Kevin White. Yuck.
Wasn't he the 8th pick, or was he the 7th?
7. I went 7 or 8, yeah. It was...
Boy, the 7th selection hasn't been good for Chicago sports, has it?
It's stupid C. Red Fred, and I don't mean him. He's not stupid, but his calls and takes are sometimes stupid. And with this 7-7-7-7-7 BS, like, none of it has worked.
I don't even like 7-7s. Like, I never did in college. That was not a drinking choice for me.
Every 7 that they have picked with has actually busted out. So Wendell Carter has been traded. Coby White so far is hurt, and he is sort of underperformed. And Lauri Markkanen is a restricted free agent who has already proven. I heard Bleck talk about this last night on their show. And Lauri Markkanen, I'm with you, Chris. If Lauri signs somewhere else, restricted free agent, he goes and he averages 23 points and 10 rebounds a game for his new team, I'm just going to say, you know what?
Wasn't meant to be.
Good for him. We tried our best.
Yeah.
We gave him different coaches. We gave him different looks. We tried him in different roles. He didn't show us, other than that one February, like several years ago, that he was a difference-making player.
He had every opportunity, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if he goes on and he improves, like I've seen over the weekend, there was a lot of this. Have you guys seen the campaign stuff on social media? People, Bulls fans being like, the Bulls let campaign get away. They didn't let him get away. He was terrible when he wasn't good here.
He couldn't get a job in the league. Yeah, he was so bad.
And good for him to figure it out and to find a way to be a contributing player on a winning team. That's fantastic for him. But I'm not missing out on some campaign that we could have had as our starting point guard. That's not how this works. You have to actually produce. And that's why, Sylvie, Lauri Markkanen, if he goes on to have a great career somewhere, yeah, I mean, you could have the second thought of like, wish he would still be here. But the Bulls have given him every opportunity to be that guy.
Campaign, do you know the Suns are his fourth stop in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean,
fourth team.
There's also been a little bit of this with the Derrick Rose people in town, too. It's like, did you watch him with the Pistons? He was awful.
Well, I mean, remember before that, in his first stint with his first team after he left Chicago, he went AWOL on the Knicks.
Yeah, right.
You remember, like it didn't work out the first time with the Knicks.
Sometimes you just have to find the right situation and the right coaches and the right teammates. And
Derrick is finally, I think, accepting of who he is, what he is.
What his role is.
And what his role is. And like he's like, I don't jump out of the gym anymore, but I find a way to do it with craftiness, and he's
become a better three-point shooter too, hasn't he? I mean, he's not going to be
playing for a guy who makes every point guard who ever plays for him better.
Yeah.
You know,
so here's the poll question. I'm surprised by this, and like Javi, maybe I'm just a confused SOB, but this confuses me too. Are you hopeful about the Bulls' future? It's a pretty general open question. It's subjected. However you determine what the question means,
easy for me.
Are you hopeful about the Bulls' future? And I'm confused about it. Waddle says it's easy. Easy. We'll address that. If you want to address it, 312-332-3776. All that coming up next.
Even if you're not spending as much time in the car, don't miss a minute of Waddle and Sylvie at home. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so the question is, are you hopeful about the Bulls' future?
Yes. Like, I can differentiate between hopeful and optimistic. I'm not necessarily optimistic. I'm hopeful. Like, I'm not... Hopeful is less optimist, is less invested than optimistic,
right.
I think.
If they don't get their pick tonight, how where do you see the hope coming from?
I'm still riding with this new staff, with AK and Eversley. Like, I'm still giving them time to put their plan together. They're not going to be able to create ultimately what they want to do in 12 months. So, I mean, this is going to be a 2 or 3 year thing before I get jaded and pissed off again the way I was.
Well, I'm not saying to get pissed. I'm just saying that without two out of the next three first round picks, if you don't win the lottery tonight,
do you got some cash?
Without a point, I know they can be Atlanta. Atlanta, again, we brought this up yesterday. Atlanta had a miserable record last year. Miserable. Mm-hmm. They had to fire their coach this year to get going and to be the team that they are. Same thing with Phoenix. Phoenix wasn't any good till they got in the bubble, and then they signed Chris Paul, and now they may be destined to the NBA Finals.
Can that kid that they drafted in the second round, can he eventually play, and when can he come over?
Yeah, I think he could come over to any time. I think a lot of people do have high hope. This is the Bulls' second round pick from last year you're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people say it could be like what happened in Denver with Jokic. I don't know. I mean, like Jokic's don't grow on trees, but it's something that, you know, Karnišević has done well. It's why you always use your picks, too. You know?
Yes.
And then the other thing, like, that's always ticking me off. Like, who's the kid in L.A., the Clippers player who won that game 7, I think it was, for them? He had all those threes. Man? Is it Man? Who's the player for the Clippers guy?
Is it Terrence Mann?
Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann.
Terrence Mann's a former second-round pick.
Oh, yeah.
Another guy. Like, yeah. You always... Like, everyone... All the idiot Bulls fans out there thought, for me, it was a Jordan Bell thing. It's not a Jordan Bell thing. It's a take-your-swing in the second round.
You only get a couple thing. Of them.
Especially when you trade a second-round pick, it doesn't help your salary cap. All it's doing is putting money in the back pocket of your owner. There is nothing you gain strategically from selling your second-round pick. Terrence Mann is just another former second-round pick who a team won because he worked his way up. And they're all not going to work out. But Jokic is your MVP. Where was he drafted?
Second round. The only second-round pick ever to win an MVP, correct? Isn't that correct?
Is Jokic?
Yes.
I think there was one
was
more.
Was it Willis Reed?
Willis Reed,
but
yes.
There was 8 teams in the league at the time, and he was the 10th pick.
Right, yes. He was,
so,
he,
like, he was
he would
the
be a,
number
a lottery
2 pick.
Pick
in the second round,
right.
But he was the 10th overall selection.
Yes, yes.
Something weird like that.
Yeah. There are 61.9% of the people saying they are hopeful about the
How'd
Bulls.
How'd you vote?
Well, this is where, again, like, I'm in a very confused mood today. I don't know if I want Javi Baez or not, and for what price. And I don't know if I'm going to be hopeful about the Bulls if they don't win tonight.
Okay, let me help you. Let's go back to Javi real quick. Do you want Javi back, or do you only want Javi back at the right price? Because some people are like, I don't even want him back. Because his low on base percentage ultimately is not going to get any better. So I would just like to turn the page and try somebody new. I'm not that person.
No, I'd like it for my price, but what is that price?
Six years, $150 million, $25 million a year for 6 years.
That's still a lot of money for a guy who is getting on base at a 26% clip.
He was also 2 years ago or 3 years ago, wasn't he a finalist or top 3 vote getters in the MVP race?
Long time ago already. I mean, like, if he has 2 straight years of bad, you're going to still roll him out $150 million?
I look at 2020 in a different way than a lot of other people because it was just weird. It was weird. It was short. It was... I give some guys a pass. Guys that were able to excel in that environment, maybe I give a little extra tip of the cap to, but I don't hold it against guys as much as I would in a normal season.
Well, what happens if you struggle in 2020 and then it carries over to 2021? Then what are you doing? Are you saying then maybe 2020 wasn't the anomaly? Maybe this is who he is right now.
Well, I believe he's back to, like, I mean, I think at the end of the year, he's probably going to be 290 on base percentage, which is 10 points lower than normal.
Yeah, that's...
He's a three...
Well, that's his normal, but what is, like, league average? Like,
my point is that sets the market for him. I want Javi on my team. I'm just not paying him the same price that a guy like Seager is going to get on the open market. And he's also a guy that when he turns 33, 34, 35, if he has some decreased capacity athletically, you can switch him over to second base. Like, I think Javi's going to fill a role for you, maybe not at $30 million a year. 5 years, $125 million. That's $25 million a year for 5 years for Javi. Too much? 5 years, $100 million. Somebody's probably going to give him 5 years and $125 million.
Sure they will. Sure. Yes.
You're the Chicago Cubs. You should be able to sign him to a 5-year, $125 million
deal.
He's a fan favorite.
But it's not. This is where it's a baseball decision now. Does Jed want to give him 5 for 125, or would you rather go out and give Seager or Story or someone else more money than that?
You may have to give those guys $250.
Maybe that you get a better return on investment.
You could. But if you don't sign him, you don't sign Bryant, you're going to have to fill one of those roles.
Sure.
You're going to have to fill more than one role.
Right, right. And you go out and you use your money just on different players who you like better. And you just say...
Seager's hurt quite a bit,
he
right?
Is. Yep.
Story, some of his numbers are probably enhanced offensively by where he's played. I mean, like, we can play this game, and I'm with you. Like, I know who Javi is. Javi's going to hit you 35 bombs. He's going to make you wet your pants sometimes because he's so exciting. He's going to make you wet your pants other times because you're so frustrated, but he's going to save runs. I mean, he's going to do some things. I want Javi Baez on my team. I'm just not going to pay him the way that a top three or four guy at his position gets paid.
Yeah, 5 years, 125. I'm in for that. 150. We're getting into some territory, 25 a year, where I used to say yes to like that. Now I'm not so sure. I need to see more. I need to see him produce. I need to see him hit. Like, it's not acceptable to get on base this low.
No, you're right. Like, you get a guy like Trey Turner with the Nationals.
There's another
guy. He's going to hit 17 home runs, but he's a career 300 hitter with an on-base percentage of .355. He's not as dynamic as Javi is on the base pass. He's fast, but not as dynamic as Javi. Probably statistically may have fewer errors, but Javi's got better range. Who do you want? Now, he's going to cost you $20 to $25 million a year, Javi is. Yeah. Are you willing to pay it?
I don't know how we got back to Javi and the Bulls. It's just because of my confusion. So, look, I could spin you a yarn about the Bulls, and I could say, all right, they got two All-Stars instead of one All-Star from a year ago. They didn't get a training camp or even really full practice time even because of COVID where they could get chemistry together. Zach got on the injured list with COVID in the middle of it too. So any court time that they did have, now that was off. With a full training camp and a full off season, they should be able to find better ways to maximize Zach LaVine and Vooch together on the same court. Patrick Williams, who has this raw ability and understands the game at such a young age, if he gets in the gym and continues to improve his shot and you coach him up to be more aggressive and to look for his offensive game instead of just letting the game come to him, could really take this big freshman to sophomore leap that a lot of rookies to second year players make. You know, then if you win the lottery, now you've got more things to deal with. Kobe White, you've at least determined that he's not a point guard, and you can let Kobe be Kobe and just go get his offense when your team needs a little bit of an offensive lift. I could spin you that, but what if they continue to play so-so ball together, and they're just two empty calorie scorers who really haven't won anywhere they've been? Vooch didn't win in Orlando. Zach LaVine didn't win in Chicago. Patrick Williams is a nice athletic player who looks like Kawhi, but he may not turn into Kawhi, and he may be a nice player. Kobe White doesn't fill you any role. He doesn't have any particular skill that's awfully great. He doesn't shoot it well. He doesn't dribble it well. He doesn't pass it well. He doesn't defend well. And then you don't have a first-round pick to all of a sudden trade or to draft and make a better player. Now what?
Well, we had this conversation yesterday. Are you more optimistic about the Bulls' future because of what you're seeing with teams like the Suns and the Hawks? So when I answer your web poll question, I'm saying to you, yes, I'm hopeful. I can't necessarily sign on the dotted line as being optimistic at this point for the reasons you're mentioning. Like, I'm in a wait and see. I'm hopeful that there's a little extra something magical that AK and Eversley can do, that maybe you'll get good results tonight in the NBA draft lottery, that Williams will continue to take a step, that someone will want to come here and be an integral part of this Bulls team. I'm hopeful. I'm not yet optimistic because I don't know exactly what their plan is.
Right. And like Thaddeus Young was like the third or fourth best player on this team. He signed for one more year. He's a guy. Thaddeus Young's in this league grow on trees. So, like, how many guys am I really, like, excited about? It's why I'm sort of confused, and I think there's an important offseason for this front office and why tonight is so big. Because if you already made your trade for Vooch, and then you don't have two out of your next three first-round picks, and you have an incomplete roster, I think there are room for questions.
Speaking of tonight, we are exactly 4 hours away from the 2021 NBA Draft Lottery.
Give me some good news here.
Someone called and criticized your drum roll.
That's all I got.
All right, keep it going.
And somebody could criticize anything these days.
Keep it going. Ready? Click. Eighth. Again.
So we're eighth twice.
Coming into tonight, the Bulls have a 34.5% chance to land the eighth pick.
Didn't you say, Chris, that that's the most likely spot that they'll hit?
No, actually, number nine.
Number nine, okay.
36.2% chance for number nine.
The commentating always angers me tonight when the ping pong balls don't go my way either. Because
that's rational.
It's like a blackjack dealer who makes a stupid joke after, like, you busted or, you know, and or they match, they hit a 20. You know, and
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, like
very sorry about that, sir.
Yeah, but best of luck. What do they
do? As they're taking your cash.
Yeah, it's like,
they're tucking your cash in that little slot that never seems to. The money never comes back from there.
Yeah, like that's what it is tonight. I don't know who it, is it. Rachel Nichols. The Bulls had a 25% chance, but now they end up
picking
10.
She's taking your chips and she's stacking them in $25 chips and $100 chips and $50 chips.
Like, I get it. It's irrational anger, but it does. It bothers me.
Speaking of irrational.
332-3776 is our phone number. We've got Waddle's World coming up. Len Casper is going to join us at 5. We have White Sox baseball tonight at 5:30.
Waddle and Sylvie are with you as you return to the office. Just like that annoying coworker that always talks about their cat. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get
Let's get weird, man. Waddle's World, brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. Daryl Morey says 25 or 26 teams would love to be in the 76ers situation. Do you agree with him? 25 or 26 teams.
Well, Joel Embiid is one of the better players in the NBA, so we're always looking for the one.
Teach him to play in the paint a little bit.
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, that's coaching, too.
Yes.
But, I mean,
am I right, Chris? I know you brought up Doc Rivers' game plan or lack of game plan was you were bad in yesterday's good, bad, or dirty. Am I correct that Doc Rivers set the NBA record for playoff losses?
I think he does not know, but I believe you are correct. Okay. I thought I saw that.
That was odd. Now, again, that means you are in the postseason quite a bit.
He was with Boston. He won a title there.
I believe he does not have the world's greatest record in Game 7.
I thought there was something about either Game 7s or blown leads that was related.
That, too.
That's what I said to Waddle yesterday about Game 7s. I think you found the stat that he was 6-10.
I think he's 6-9 now, I believe, in his career in Game 7.
One of the Game 7 wins, remember, came against the Bulls in that memorable series against the Celtics when Joakim Noah, that triple overtime game, and he had that great dunk. They lost a Game 7 at the Garden.
Do you believe that? I mean, obviously, they're specifically asking about Ben Simmons. Do you believe what Daryl Morey is saying, that there are 25 or 26 other teams that would like to have this problem? A dominant, at times, player that doesn't shoot the three, is afraid to shoot the ball in crunch time, struggles at the free throw line.
Are you talking specifically about Simmons or his team in general? Well, I think they're going to trade him. I think Morey's a traitor to begin with, so I think Morey's going to deal him.
Okay.
Didn't Morey say the reason why we lost is because we need better players? Wasn't he quoted saying that too?
Yeah, he's quoted that. Yeah.
Well,
He was putting the blame on him. Like, he wasn't
he
saying
needs to acquire better players.
These players suck, so I need to move them. He was trying to say that the reason we didn't win is because I didn't do my job the right way.
No, the reason you lost is because Ben Simmons was no factor at all in the fourth quarter of any of the 7 games. I mean, seriously, that's right, isn't it? I mean, this is professional sports. The reason why you didn't advance in that series is because one of your elite players that makes over $30 million.
Well, you blew game 5 was a catastrophic. When your star player doesn't hit a field goal the entire second half of a game that you were winning.
At least he tried one.
No, I know that. But look, Embiid had like 8 turnovers in Game 7. I know he's exhausted, but it's not just Ben Simmons.
I get it, but Ben Simmons took 3 shots in the fourth quarter of 7 games collectively. Like,
if you get more from Ben Simmons, you're not even in a Game 7, are you? I mean, honestly.
Well, you shouldn't have been in a Game 7 anyway. Look, okay. It's a terrible situation. They didn't fix the issue this year. Now Doc all of a sudden is like, well, we know the issue. You know, now we just got to implement it. Well, what were you waiting for?
Kawhi Leonard's out tonight. Does anyone know exactly which I mean? Does he have an ACL or are they not suggesting that he has it? Or
we don't know if it's a tear. We know at the very least it's a sprain.
They're going to ask him to do what Phillip Rivers did. Remember when he played in the AFC title game without an ACL?
Wow.
I think we know that he has not had surgery yet. Like, that's what we know, right?
That's all we know.
But we don't know if it's torn for sure.
Right. So we don't know if he will at some point have surgery or if he could come back at some point. We have no idea.
He's out of the game. Do we know what the I know that Chris Paul's out. Like, what are they going to do with him over the next several days? Do we know anything more about that?
He's out for game two.
And that's all we know.
COVID protocol, which is kind of strange.
This is the Bucks' year. I mean, it's right there for them. They will never, ever have an easier path. Now, will they capitalize on the path? It's a different story. But think if people told people in Milwaukee, you could get Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you could get Phoenix in the championship round at the beginning of the year. Think if anyone would have suggested that to a Bucks fan. Hey, you'll have to beat Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals and Phoenix in the championship. Would you sign up for that?
Of course you would. I think at the time, I think Phoenix was 40 or 50 to 1 to win the title. Now, they developed into a fantastic basketball team. But at the start of the season, yes, in the bubble, they were very, very good. But I don't think anyone would have projected that they would do this, even with Chris Paul.
So Chris Paul has been out since June 13th. Today is the 22nd.
9 days, Chris. What are we doing?
So what do we need to get to? 14 days before he's allowed to come back? So we're talking maybe he'll be available for Thursday? No, I mean, we're talking Saturday's game. Was that game four is Saturday?
This is why, I'm torn. You talk about your confusion. This is what I'm torn about. I like that there's fresh, new blood in the NBA playoffs right now. That the Western and the Eastern Conference Finals include teams that not many people, in some respects, like everyone thought that the Clippers, I think they were the favorites, weren't they, when leading into the season. But to see the Hawks there and to see the Suns there, I think is very entertaining. And their Devin Booker's developed himself into a difference-making player. Trae Young there's new fresh faces. But all of the missing stars, I think, has definitely taken away from the quality of play. Like, again, that
Kawhi
game seven,
being out,
yes,
Chris
that game
Paul
seven
being out.
Between the Hawks and the Sixers was garbage to watch in the fourth quarter in a lot of ways.
But the Milwaukee, and now Brooklyn was shorthanded, but it also allowed KD to sort of be a superstar.
I get it, but the point is there is a limit to my enjoyment of watching, knowing that all of these teams are missing key components.
I'm going to shock you here. I'm going to shock you.
Shock. You going to give me the shock?
I'm going to shock you. I don't miss LeBron James.
That's fair. I mean, but my only point was he's good for the NBA.
Right. I don't
miss
him.
His appearance is.
It's been fun. It's been fun not having him.
Yeah. Well, the proposal for a 12-team college football playoff cleared another hurdle today when the 11 presidents and chancellors who have the ultimate authority over the format authorized the 10 FBS commissioners to, quote, begin a summer review phase to determine the feasibility of an expanded field and work on the details of how and when it might be implemented. This is all kinds of big jazzy words for saying, yes, we're going to expand to 12 at some point.
Good.
Yeah.
2023, is that right? This year and next year will be the same.
Still under the same policy.
But 2023 will be different.
Yeah, you have food on your face.
I know.
What do you mean?
Standard.
You know, you just want to leave it there? Like, I know
heard,
I do.
I got to bring it up later. I heard some stuff from the boys yesterday on my ride home that made me laugh. Yeah. Some Sylvie juices were on the mouse. They were talking.
Oh, I did hear that as well. You'd be shocked at how much the both of us listen Maybe you shouldn't be, but
I don't. But I don't. I make sure that I don't. While food's on my face, I try not to get any food or juices on the mouse.
The mouse is a little slimy.
From what? It's not for me.
Well, I don't know who else is in there for 4 hours before we go on.
If we're going to get into it now, I wouldn't say it was slimy. I would say it was
sweaty.
No, it's you ever pick up the remote control and you know that someone in your apartment, your house, wherever you live was currently or at some point earlier in the day eating potato chips.
So there's like potato chip dust on it.
It was a little slick to the touch.
So it probably had blueberry juice on it.
No, I would hope that I'm not
why don't you take one of these Clorox?
I didn't say it was
you. When you're done eating.
I didn't say it was
Abdallah
you.
Did. Abdallah, well, I mean, look, I'm the one sitting in the spot that you're sitting
in. I mean, I noticed it because it's radio. You guys are listening to us in glorious FM HD 100.3 HD2.
100.3 HD2.
And I could see, as I was talking out of the corner of my eye, I could see Chris, like, looking at the microphone and, like, watching it glimmer.
There was a pause in the action.
There was a glimmer off the light, and he... And listen, I said my microphone smelled weird, but that was because of me. That wasn't because of you.
What does that mean?
We also found your bag, Sylvie. Your bag's
right,
in there.
I know.
Major bag alert.
Yeah.
Major
bag alert. Around.
We found it, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to take my mic sock off.
No, my mic sock had been in my bag, and I think my lunch leaked a little bit into my bag, and
so
the mic sock absorbed
it. What did it smell like?
It smelled like some meats I had last week.
Ooh.
Some leftover meats.
Oof.
I couldn't do the job if my mic sock smelled like meat.
I had to clean off the sock yesterday. Clean out the sock.
Did you say what?
It's a meat sock, then.
It's a meat sock.
I had to clean that out and then spray down the bag.
Did you see the problem?
Sox Woody.
Did you White Sox Woody. In the sock, did you see that the cup snake is probably dead at Wrigley now? Because
oh,
of last night? Because
they threw it on the warning track.
The cups got on the warning track.
You can't have nice things.
No, that's what
you
a lot of people
were
saying.
You can't have nice things. When we come back, guess what's back? UFO conversation and the nuttiest story of the day.
It's not going away.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
It's a big week, fellas.
Yeah.
Not because the NCAA is talking about expanding their playoff. Not because the Supreme Court ruled against the NCAA's business of sticking it to the college athletes. Not because your Cubs are mired in a slump. Not because of any of that stuff. Do you realize that the Pentagon report about UFOs is due before Congress by June 25th? You know what that means?
That's like 4 days, isn't it? Three days.
That's Friday. We call that a Friday news dump, fellas, right? What are the odds that this thing gets released at like 7 p.m. Central Time on Friday?
Hopefully before our show ends, so I'm hoping earlier in the day than 7, so we can talk about it on Friday.
The Pentagon report, which is due before Congress by June 25th, could clarify matters, but advance accounts say it doesn't reach definitive conclusions other than the objects are not U.S. technology in general. There's no evidence they were extraterrestrial, the report supposedly says, but neither is there evidence they were not.
Right. That's the key. That they don't know what the heck is going on.
How do they not know?
Well, because like you said, have we captured one?
Do we have a vehicle?
Do we have a vehicle?
There are some Chicago UFO buffs that are awaiting the release of that Pentagon report.
Why don't we get them on?
We should. There is a buzz here locally about what's coming out. TJ Japkin says, I don't think it makes a difference. I know what I saw when he talks about what happened in Tinley Park almost 17 years ago.
This is the Tinley Park triangle that
still
I was just educated on?
Yes. TJ still lives in the southwest suburb, is the foremost chronicler of what has come to be known as the Tinley Park lights, a trio of color-shifting orbs seemingly connected that slid across the horizon before a crowd of witnesses. Some experts have dismissed the images he captured on video cassette as a prank, but such skepticism is facing new pushback. The military has released videos of flying objects it can't explain, and the upcoming report, according to journalists who've been briefed on its contents, don't rule out extraterrestrial technology.
You said TJ Napkin? Is that his name?
Japkin.
Let's get him on. TJ, if you listen, if someone knows TJ Japkin, call him and tell him to call us on Friday. He could be our UFO guy.
So you were telling me about this. I don't have a lot of knowledge about what the Tinley Park lights, but so far it says here they have escaped debunking amongst, is it ufologists or ufologists? The phenomenon was the subject of an episode of the History Channel show UFO Hunters, which subjected witness footage to video analysis and concluded one popular theory that the lights came from flares carried by weather balloons was incorrect.
Well, I learned from it when you learned from it. We were talking on a show one day and someone called us and talked about the Tinley Park Triangle. I thought that was like a weird sex ring that was going on in the southwest suburbs after like a concert.
Dave Matthews concert.
It's a world music fest. Yeah. But no, this is a real UFO thing. So I don't know anything more than you do. You were with me at the same time that we had this call.
I don't remember it, but maybe my brain was abducted by aliens. I believe it says here the National UFO Reporting Center lists 2,758 alleged sightings in Illinois since 1947, but Director Peter Davenport says that's likely a tiny fraction of the true number. My opinion is that out of 10,000 or 20,000 people who see an object they sincerely believe was or may have been a UFO, researchers capture only one of those sightings. If you want to test my theory, go to a big party sometime. Ask everyone who saw a UFO to raise their hands. Then ask how many have reported them. Virtually all of the hands go down.
I've never seen anything
questionable.
No, I have.
Yeah.
When?
As a kid growing up in Cincinnati. Big area for UFOs.
Yeah, you were drinking beer, though.
No doubt. But, I occasionally see some things in the sky that make me a little bit concerned.
No, they're out there. I know that. And I believe that they are.
You guys ever seen a UFO? Chris, you've ever seen a UFO?
I don't think so.
No? Are you not actively looking, though?
Well, yeah, I look up.
Okay.
Do you look up?
Yes,
are
I said.
Are you actively looking, yeah, like when Lola?
I've been on a plane and seen things in the horizon that didn't look right. Like lights.
Like a little guy on the wing? Lights. Little guy on the wing?
No little guys on the wing.
You were drinking scotch and swallowing pills.
That's true.
Yeah. Yes, you were. You were having pills and scotch.
I am not an advocate of drinking scotch and taking pills, sir.
Nor
was I doing that when I saw the bright lights.
You look out on the wing and there's a little guy dancing around looking at you?
Don't you make light of the fact that I believe that, I mean, listen, we would be ignorant.
You call over people, you say, look out this window. There's something out there. And then they look out the window and there's nothing there.
Ignorant and arrogant to believe that there aren't other beings out there.
Do you want to take Joe and Mokina? Yeah. He's a truck driver.
Joe.
Hey, gentlemen. Good afternoon. So, I drive
a
truck.
Joe, can you give us a little horn?
I'm actually heading to work right now.
Okay. So you give us a little, just regular horn. There you go. Thank you, Joe.
It's a good horn.
So I drive all over the country, and I've seen lights hundreds of times. I don't want to say hundreds of times, but plenty of times, enough to where it doesn't even faze me anymore. I've seen things out there that I can't explain. And,
right.
And like Tommy just said, like, this universe is so vast, bigger than anything you can even imagine. If you really think that we are the only beings in this whole universe, you're crazy to
of
think
course.
That.
Yeah.
It's too big for us to be the only ones out there.
Joe's a believer.
Well, I think all four of us are believers.
Joe's
too,
on the UFO team here at ESPN 1000.
Team UFO?
Yeah. All right. You guys take care of yourself.
Thanks,
where,
Joe.
Where are you driving next, Joe? Where's your next voyage?
Well, today I am headed to St. Louis.
Okay.
And then I'll be back tonight, but then tomorrow I think I'm heading out to Jersey. So
St. Louis is boring.
Travel safe, Joe.
Thank you, boys.
All right, take care. There's Joe Mokina.
Love Joe. All right, you know what time it is? Time to get off the UFO conversation. Time to bring you the nuttiest story of the day. It's brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. I know a night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Speaking of nutty, a Tampa doctor did surgery on the wrong testicle, the state says. He tried to fix the issue. A Tampa urologist marked the patient's right testicle for removal of enlarged veins and did the procedure on that testicle. But the September 2019 procedure was supposed to be done on the other testicle.
That's jailable, isn't it? I mean, like, that's a lifetime sentence.
This is probably going to be what churns your stomach most. Dr. Raul Fernandez Crespo has been fined $2,500 by the state of Florida Board of Medicine.
$2,500 for taking the wrong ball?
The board also has issued a letter of concern. So you get the wrong marble addressed, and they only penalized Dr. Crespo. $2,500, and he was issued a letter
of concern. Bigger penalty for deflating balls,
yes,
than this guy did, than taking the wrong one.
Yeah.
This is a blow.
During the procedure, the doctor realized that the patient had consented to a left testicle varicocelectomy. The complaint says, and then he performed a left testicle varicolectomy, whatever it is.
Did he put it back?
What's that? He didn't know. What he was trying to do is get rid of the veins. There's some vein, like with the procedure or with the condition. Enlarged scrotal veins can be a source of male infertility, pain, and may even impair testosterone production.
Don't so you this, cross-check that about 800 times?
I would think so.
Like, if you're set for that surgery, don't you look at the notes? Which one does he want removed?
Notes, right?
Yeah, which one have I X'd out? We go back and forth. Back, okay, left, right. Right. Well, no, we got the wrong one.
Before you put me under, the last thing I'm saying to my doctor is, Doc, it's the right knot.
Yes, absolutely. That's one you can never get wrong. All right, coming up in two short minutes.
Draw a little X on it. Yeah.
It's this one, Doc.
Here's
this
the
one
spot.
Right here.
Waddle always says, follow the money. Should we follow the money with the Bears? And does that mean they're headed to Arlington Heights? That's up in 2 minutes.